Jazakallah khair, everyone, for coming. Alhamdulillah, today is week 7 of the term, and another Bahiyyah for Sheikh Riyad's class on Imam Ghazali's Ihya, looking at intentions, verbal habits, sincerity, and things like that. So, with that said, I'll pass it over to Sheikh Riyad, where you can continue where we left off last week, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, alladhi ja'ala dhikrahu tuma'ninatan lil qulub. وجلاء لها عذرين الضروب ومطرة لوسواس الخناس المكذوب والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد الداعي إلى كل فعل محبوب وأمر المطلوب وعلى آله وأصحابه المقتفين سبيله على خير أسلوب أما بعد فيقول رب تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المنزل أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم تر أن الله يعلم ما في السماوات وما في الأرض ما يكون من نجوى ثلاثة إلا هو رابعهم ولا خمسة إلا هو سادسهم ولا أدنى من ذلك ولا أكثر إلا هو معهم أينما كانوا ثم ينبئهم بما عملوا يوم القيامة إن الله بكل شيء عليم صدق الله العظيم. Brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to lecture number 34 in our series on Ikhlas and its related subjects. Last week we read from the Book of Etiquettes of Sociability, the Kitab al-Sohbati wal-Quwati wal-Mu'asharati ma'a asnaf al-Khalq, which is the Book of Etiquettes and Sociability, Brotherhood, Friendship, and Company with various kinds of people, and specifically the portion that explains the meaning of loving for the sake of Allah, loving someone for the sake of Allah, Al-Hubbu fi Allah. The title of the chapter is Al-Hubbu wal-Bughdu fi Allah, love and dislike for sake of Allah, because it's not only about loving, is that we're required to love everyone and to love and to show love and to have compassion, but when it is in a violation of Allah's rules, when it's in violation, when it's in opposition to Allah, then one should have also the ability to make that distinction in the mind, that we do not hate people, but we hate the actions of people that are in opposition to Allah. So there's a balance there to be drawn. We sidetracked into this discussion with example number 7, from the list of multiple intentions Imam Ghazali provided for the act of sitting in the mosque. The intention of gaining companionship for the sake of Allah, where the question arose as to what does this really mean, of loving someone for the sake of Allah. And in that discussion, there were 4 key points to keep in mind. Well, one is the answer to the question, but the first was that sohba, which is companionship, and note here that this is the term that was ascribed to the people around Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were not called followers; they were called sahaba. This is the same root for the word sohba we have, to companionship. It's more than just following. What we learned last week was that companionship, it occurs in 2 broad ways. One that happens through coincidences, such as neighborhood, meeting in a library, meeting, traveling, etc. And the other is that form of sohba that is actively pursued, which is what was intended in the example of going to the mosque with an intention of gaining a brother. He said, yastafida akhan fillah, that he will earn a brother in for the sake of Allah, and that was the example. So, what we are concerned with, well, what we are aiming for, is the one that you pursue, you actively pursue. The second point was that the meaning of sahba is, of course, socializing, spending time together, being generally together, and supporting each other, and that these are things that people only do voluntarily when there is love and appreciation among them. Without love, there will be the opposite. There will be a separation, a distancing, and estrangement. So the point to note here was that the glue that brings people together is love and appreciation for each other. And number three was that there are four broad reasons why people connect. There are four structures of connections that happen. The first was that to love someone either for their external or internal beautiful features or qualities such as character and conduct. And this is so because acquaintance with any beautiful characteristic is naturally enjoyable. The human being finds that enjoyable. So, but also we note that love can blossom between individuals without these characteristics of beauty or excellence having any role to play. For Imam Ghazali says, فَإِنَّهُ قَدْ تَسْتَحْكِمُ الْمَوَدَّةُ بَيْنَ شَخْصَيْنِ مِنْ غَيْرِ مَلَاحَةٍ فِي صُورَةٍ وَلَا حُسْنٍ فِي خُلُقٍ وَلَا خَلْقٍ وَلَكِنْ لِمُنَاسِبَةٍ بَاطِنَةٍ. In other words, love can blossom due to deep-seated connections of past interactions or similarities. By past interactions, we mean that these things that draw people together into friendship and closeness. These are interactions and connections that may have occurred with our souls prior to our arrival on earth. And this is explained in the hadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us, Al-arwahu junudun mujannada, that the souls are marshaled troops, like marshaled troops, and those that are, whoever recognizes each other, then they will be, who are acquainted here will be, will meet here, will meet there. Who are acquainted there will meet here. And who are separated there will be estranged here. So that was the first of the four. The second reason why there may be love between people, why people, this connection may develop, is for ulterior motives. He said, أَن يُحِبَّهُ لِيَنَالَ مِنْ ذَاتِهِ غَيْرَ ذَاتِهِ. This is similar to the love of gold. We had the example of gold and silver, which is not very beneficial in themselves, but they are a means to things of benefit and things that are beloved in themselves. And such, as through gold you may get, you may acquire things that are, that you are, that you find beloved, that you have a love for, like fame, position, acceptance. And of course, these are not reasons for loving for the sake of Allah. These do not fall into that category. The third category is, and يُحِبَّهُ لَا لِذَاتِهِ, to love him not for in himself, but لِغَيْرِهِ, for an ulterior motive, for something other than himself, to love someone for a reason other than something in them. وَذَٰلِكَ الْغَيْرِ لَيْسَ رَاجِعًا إِلَىٰ حُدُودِهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا. But the distinction here in this third category, this third configuration, is that it's done, it's for a reason that is not worldly. It is not about this dunya, it's about something in the akhirah. And here you step into the realm of loving for the sake of Allah. There, you say, بَلْ يَرْجِعُ إِلَىٰ حُدُودِهِ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. To love someone not for themselves, but in the category. And this is the criterion. The criterion is that you should have, it cannot exist. That love does not exist unless there is iman, unless there is belief in akhirah and in Allah. That's the criteria that is applied in order to recognize whether your love for something is for the pleasure of Allah or for something else. If iman is taken away, can that love still be there? If it's still there, then that it's not love for Allah. وَحَدُّهُ هُوَ أَنَّ كُلَّ حُبٍّ لَوْلَى الْإِيمَانِ. This is the condition, that it must have iman and belief in the hereafter. The fourth category was الْقِسْمُ الرَّابِ أَن يُحِبَّ لِلَّهِ وَفِي اللَّهِ. That you should love for Allah and in Allah's religion. That's لا ينال منه علما, that there's no ulterior motive. This is of the highest level, that there's no ulterior, there's nothing beyond. You just love for the sake of love. To love for the sake of Allah in the religion of Allah without an ulterior motive, such as gaining knowledge or gaining closeness or anything beyond that. It exists purely by the power of love. And this is, of course, the highest level of connection of the four categories. For when someone loves a person intensely, they also love those who love their beloved. When we love someone dearly, we love those who are kind to our beloved. We love those who are connected to our beloved. We love everything that pertains to our beloved. And so it is. When we love Allah intensely, we will love everything that pertains to Allah. We will love those who recognize Allah. We will love those who believe in Allah. We will love those who obey Allah. We will love those who remind us of Allah. We will love all the creations of Allah. We will love those who love Allah. We will love all the beloved of Allah. And we will love the beloved of the beloved of Allah. And of course, the condition for this transcending of the love from the original object, the original object of your love, the transcendence, is that you need an intensification of that love. That's it. When the love becomes intense, then it spreads to everything that pertains to that object of your love. As we saw with the story I gave you about Qais and Layla and Majnun, this famous story, when he said, I think I didn't mention last week the full story, that he was, but when he said to them, that did you see me? You are praying to your Lord, you are praying to your beloved, and did you see me? Because he walked in front of them, they caught up with him and said, why did you walk in front of us? And he said, you were praying to your beloved and you saw me? I was following a dog from the village of Layla, and I didn't see you. That he had become so engrossed in following this dog to walk past and he's going, and I didn't see you. So that's the, and when he said, you know, he said that poem, Amurru ala diyari diyari Layla, that I pass around the dwellings of Layla, and وَأُقَبِّلُ ذَا الْجِدَارَ I walk through the dwellings and I'm kissing the fences and the walls, and وَمَا حُبُّ الدِّيَارِ شَغَفْنَ قَلْبِ, that it is not the love that of these walls that actually fascinate my heart. What is it? He said, وَلَكِنْ حُبَّ مَنْ سَكَنَ الدِّيَارِ, that the love of the one that is in that dwells in these dwellings. So these were the four configurations of suhbah amongst people that happen. And now, the fourth point to keep in mind, and obviously these were the four configurations, but I'm going through a list of things to keep in mind. And so the fourth point to keep in mind here was that Allah's creations come naturally to those, the creations that we interact with on a daily basis, we tend to have a distance between our interaction with them and our recognition of their connection with Allah. But when things are newly created, then that gives us an opportunity to reflect on the ongoing process of creation. And this is in what we saw with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when in his practice, that when a new branch, when a new bunch of fruit would come to him, a fresh bunch of fruit, he put it on his eyes and he would say that, look, innahu qareebul ahdi bi rabbina, that this was recently created by our Lord. So that reflection there, this is in the case also with every leaf that we will see now as spring emerges from winter. Every new leaf created is a creation of Allah. When we reflect on these leaves that are coming on the tree, here we have an opportunity to reflect on these leaves being created. They're new, and we are seeing them. We are actively seeing that Allah is creating this. And for someone who loves Allah, there is joy in noticing this and reflecting on it. Remember what I said about spending time in nature and with trees and with plants? This is one of the benefits that one can earn from this. Now, today, what I want to do is to return to where we left off in Kitab al-Niyati wal-Ikhlas, in the book of Niyya and Ikhlas, and where we read the chapter on Ma'asi, sins, and the chapter on Ta'at, and their relationship to intention. These were the three broad categories of actions in relation to intention. The first was sin, the second was act of worship, and the third were permissible deeds. Right, so we didn't read, this is the one we're going to read about today. The permissible deed, this is known as al-mubahat. Al-mubahat. So the relations of neutral actions, they're not sin and they're not acts of worship, they're neutral, they're permissible. So, and we need to learn how intention relates to our actions, because we don't take them for granted. This is an important discussion for many reasons. First, living as we do in the world where the And in relation to mubahat specifically, about neutral things, when we engage with acts of worship, we focus and we have a sense of consciousness of the reward that we will get, and we may even be, when if we do something wrong, we may reflect on it and have a consciousness about, oh, this is a sin and maybe I should repent. But when it's neutral, then that our approach to it is completely different, and for that reason it's important. And as I said, living as we do in a world where freedom of the individual is idealized to a very high degree, we can often misconstrue a general principle in Islam. There's a general principle in usul, and this principle is known as al-asl fil ashya'i al-ibaha, that the default of things, the default in things, is that they are permissible, except unless there is an established reason to the contrary. So things are generally halal. Now this is definition. This definition is definitely is true. It's so it is. But when we ponder what do we really mean by reasons to the contrary, we find that it is not as simple as it appears. Take for example someone who says that okay, biryani is halal, right? And then therefore I will eat 5 large plates of biryani 3 times a day. Now, is there any problem with that? That we can justify gluttony from this if we focus on the thing and not the action or relationship to it. So justifying gluttony, it doesn't, that's not okay. And similarly, if someone says, look, I'm going to cook biryani every day in my house and let it whiff over all my poor neighbors and let them all smell it, but I will not share it with them. Is that okay? No. So that's the kind of thing that you have to look at. The point is that using this principle of Sharia in isolation to justify reckless behavior is completely wrong. And this is why justifying, and this happens a lot, that's why I'm mentioning this, people make this mistake, just to justify modern sensibilities such as, you know, unbridled individual freedom, you know, unlimited growth and critical attitude, unbridled speech, etc. And it can often result in a form of self-deception, where you think you've zoomed in, you're isolated part of Sharia, and not recognize that this is a complex system. It's more complex than this one rule that you're holding on to. So just as we need to learn and be cautious about consequences and punishments for sin and the virtues and rewards for acts of worship, we also need to be aware of accountability in permissible deeds. Accountability in mubahat. There is accountability attached to it. It's not devoid of accountability. Something being permissible does not mean that it's beyond reckoning. That's the thing. That's the point of the first, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us very clearly in the Quran, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ, that you will surely be questioned on that day of the pleasures you've enjoyed in this world, which were not the haram, the pleasures, the halal, right? Meaning that the things you enjoyed in this world, the halal things. And لَا تَزُولُ قَدَمَا, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لَا تَزُولُ قَدَمَا عَبْدٍ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حَتَّى يُسْعَلَ عَنْ عُمْرِهِ فِيمَا أَفْنَى, that a person will not move forward on the day of judgment unless he is questioned about his life. That, you know, in what did you spend it? وَعَنْ عِلْمِهِ فِيمَا فَعْلَ, and at the knowledge you had, how much of it did you obey? Did you practice? What did you practice? وَمِنْ وَعَنْ مَالِهِ, and out of his wealth. مِنْ أَيْنَ اِكْتَسَبَهُ وَفِيمَا أَنْفَقَ, of his wealth, where did he get his wealth from and where did he spend it? وَعَنْ جِسْمِهِ فِيمَا أَبْلَى, and about his own body. That where did he spend it? Where did he use it? What did he use his body for? So when people hear us talk about accountability on the day of judgment for halal things, now a question can come in the mind, you know, an objection comes into the mind that, look, this is halal, so why are we still being questioned about this? Right? This is Shaitan can come and put this, and nafs feels, oh well, it was halal, so I should just use it. I should just be left alone with it. But what they forget is that the importance of accountability in every aspect of life. that there is need for accountability. Even in our world, today, good governance is rooted in accountability. We routinely seek accountability from those in positions of responsibility. We seek accountability from people in political office. We expect accountability in standards of our public and private institutions. And we manage accountability in education through systems of testing and examination. These are all systems of accountability. So, although it may seem like we have complete freedom, we do not have unbridled freedom to act in whatever way we wish. Everywhere you turn, there is a yearning for accountability. You cannot drive however you want on the road. There are rules and consequences, and you are accountable for your actions. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of planners, and He knows what is best for us, and in this world and the next, both. And He has also put accountability on permissible deeds. Now let's read the text. The text says, القسم الثالث المباحات وما من شيء من المباحات إلا ويحتمل نية أو نيات يسير بها من محاسن القربات وينال بها معالي الدرجات فما عظم خسران من يغفل عنها. That there are no permissible deed except that it is capable of being turned by intention into the best of acts of worship through which one may attain the highest of ranks. Right? فما عظم خسران. So how great is the loss of the one who neglects this and take no heed of this and treats it in the way animals do, because animals do not think about consequences of what they do. They feel hungry, they eat. If the animal is going through the marketplace and he sees fruit there and he's hungry, he will snap it. He wouldn't worry, this person I might have to pay. Or they don't think about consequences. So, فَلَا يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَحْتَقِرْ. So, the individual, فَلَا يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَحْتَقِرَ الْعَبْدُ شَيْئًا مِنَ الْخَطَرَاتِ وَالْخُطَوَاتِ واللحظات فكل ذلك يسأل عنه يوم القيامة أنه لما فعل وما الذي قصد به. So it is not for the servant to belittle any of his passing thoughts, the steps he takes, or the moments he spends, for he would be questioned about all on the day of judgment. Why did he do what he did, and with what intention did he do it? فكل ذلك يسأل عنه يوم القيامة أنه لما فعل وما القصد وهذا في مباح محض. That this is in the things that are purely halal, that are allowed. لا يشوبه كراهة. And this is in the things that are pertains to purely permissible deeds in which there is no disapproval. And in this regard, ولذلك قال صلى الله عليه وسلم حلالها حساب وحرامها عذاب. That it's lawful. Lawful deeds are accountable, and the unlawful ones are punishable. You are punishable for them. وفي الحديث إن العبد لا يسأل يوم القيامة لا يسأل يوم القيامة عن كل شيء. That the servant, the Muslim, the person will be asked on the day of judgment about everything, حتى عن قهل عينه, even the eyeliner that you put on to your eyes, put in your eyes, وعن فتاة طينه بأصبعه, and the crush the mud. That he crushed, the dust that he crushed with his hand. وَأَنْ لَمْسِهِ ثَوْبَ أَخِي, and touching of his brother's clothes. So, وَفِي الْخَبَرِ مَنْ تَطَيَّبَ لِلَّهِ, the one who wears perfume for Allah. This is in a khabar, hadith. جَاءَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَرِيحُهُ أَطْيَبُ مِنَ الْمِسْكِ. That whosoever wears perfume for the sake of Allah, he will arrive on the day of judgment and his smell will be more beautiful and more sweet than that of musk. وَمَنْ تَطَيَّبَ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ, and whosoever wears perfume for other reasons, and this will be explained further on, جَاءَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَرِيحُهُ, and his smell will be on the day of judgment like that of a dead carcass, a putrid smell. فَاسْتِعْمَالُ الطِّيبِ مُبَاحٌ. This, the using of perfume is allowed. ولكن لا بد فيه نية. But you have to think about the intention with it. What am I using it for? So he said, now here, just as Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi did with the example we had about acts of worship, is sitting in the mosque, that act of worship, a simple act of sitting in the mosque, what did he do? He taught us how to foster multiple intentions with it. So he's using this example, the example of wearing perfume. This now not a ta'a, it is not an act of worship. This is a permissible deed, and he's showing us how to foster multiple intentions around it. But he deals with multiple bad intentions and then multiple good intentions. He shows you this. For he says, فَإِن قُلْتَ مَالَّذِي مَا الَّذِي يُمْكِنُ أَنْ يَنْوِي بِالطِّيبِ وَهُوَ حَضٌ مِّنْ حُضُوذِ النَّفْسِ. He said, well, what is it can you intend? If someone says, he's going through people's argument, you know, someone might come up and say, oh, well, just by perfume you have to think about this? Why? What is it? This is حُضُوذُ الدُّنْيَا. This is one of the pleasures of the world, of the dunya. So, فَكَيْفَ يَتَطَيَّبُ لِلَّهِ. How can one wear perfume for the pleasure of Allah? How is this possible? So he's saying, فَعْلَمْ. No. أَنَّ مَنْ تَطَيَّبَ مثلاً, for example, يوم الجمعة وفي سائر الأوقات يتصور أنه يقصد التنعم بلذات الله. That's the first intention. If his intention is that he's wearing perfume for enjoying a worldly pleasure, then that is as it was intended, and that's the extent to which it should be. But if he goes further and starts thinking about, he says, أن يقصد بها إظهار التفاخر بكثرة المال ليحسده الأقران, that if his intention is to show pride of having more wealth over his friends and the people around him, and so that they will become envious of him, you know, I've got this perfume that smells really nice and I will not tell anyone where I bought it from, and they will all, you know, and it's very expensive and you can't afford it. Yes. Now what is that? That is tafakhur, that is pride. That's good. So that is where it starts to get into difficult areas of intention. That the intention is not now merely to enjoy a bounty from Allah. It's being used to belittle people. It's a pejorative tool now. A tool to look at people in condescension. So he said, "Yaqsid biha ri'al khalq." And then the second one, so that was the first, so that people may become envious of him. The second one is that أن يقصد بها رياء الخلق ليقوم له الجاه في قلوبهم ويذكر طيب الرائحة. That his intention is to show pride of having that people will give him, they will recognize him as somebody special, and they will mention, there will be a mention of his fragrance, that this person is always fragrant. So he's wearing it so that others can mention him of being, He that will bring jah. That will bring what? Station in people's heart. So you're seeking station in people's heart through it, over and above other people. And then you will gain acceptance in the hearts of people, and they will mention his sweet smell. Number three, yes. يتودد به إلى قلوب النساء الأجنبيات إذا كان مستحلاً للنظر إليهن. It's in the intention. Another intention would be to draw the attention of females to himself, because of those females that he cannot see with his eyes, but the fragrance can get to there, and somebody can ask, well, who's smelling so nice today? Yeah. So that's the one. So إليهن. وَلِأُمُورٍ أُخْرَى لَا تُحْصَى. And he's saying that, look, they're similar to these are countless reasons one can foster for wearing perfume. And all of these turn the wearing of the perfume into sin or create a problem with it. And it is with that the verdict of having a smell more putrid than a dead carcass comes about. Yeah, except, of course, the first one, which is just to use it as a pleasure from Allah. That this is what a pleasure of the world, for that is not a sin. He's saying, illa annahu, but you will be questioned. He says, فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ لَيْسَ بِمَعْصِيَةٍ. To use it to enjoy the pleasure of this world is not a sin. لَيْسَ بِمَعْصِيَةٍ إِلَّا أَنَّهُ يُسْعَلَ عَنْهُ. Except that you will be questioned about it. You will be questioned. وَمَنْ نُوقِشَ الْحِسَابَ عُدِّبَ. And when we say حِسَاب here, it means عَرْض. Inshallah, we'll talk more about what it meant by hisab. But it's about presenting the evidence in front of you so that you cannot deny Allah's verdict. When Allah passes a verdict on you, it is with full justice لا يظلم مثقال ذرة, that Allah does not commit oppression. It does not, is not in unjust to anyone. So he makes it completely clear to you. So it's all presented to you. So he said, ومن أتى شيئا من البواح الدنيا لم يعذب عليه ولكن ينقص نعيم الآخرة. And then the Sahaba, you know, they, when they used to get the bounties and the treasures of the world, the riches of the world were opening onto them, they used to be worried that, oh, maybe we wouldn't get anything there, that this will be taken from my akhirah. So the trade, the yearning for benefit in the akhirah was such that they kept, they controlled themselves in this world. So whosoever takes of the permissible of this world, they will not be punished, but it is, it can be a loss for what you will get in the akhirah, for in terms of if you prioritize the dunya over the akhirah. أما النيات الحسنة أما النيات الحسنة فأن ينوي به اتباع سنة الله رسول الله سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. As for the good intentions that you can have for wearing perfume, what's the first one? The first one is that the intention to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Jum'ah. This is sunnah. So that's a good intention. The second is glorifying the masjid and showing respect to the house of Allah, for one believes that only fragrant people should be guests of Allah. See? أن يطيب وأن ينوي بذلك أيضا تعظيم المسجد احترام بيت الله فلا يرى أن يدخله زائر الله إلا طيب الرائحة. Then the third one, and يقصد به ترويح جيراني ترويح جيرانه ليستريحوا في المسجد عند مجاورته برواعه. The third one is that he should intend to bring comfort to people next to him in the mosque through his pleasant smell for the sake of Allah. So you're bringing comfort to others with it. So for that reason you do it. And then number four, the fourth one, in يقصد دفع الروائح الكريهة الروائح الكريهة عن نفسه التي تؤدي إلى إيذاء مخالتي. That he aims to cover his bad smells. That if some bad smell comes out of him, it will be covered by his good smell that he has. So he's protecting that, and it, so that it doesn't offend anyone around him. So that's another good intention. Number five is that يقصد حسم باب الغيبة عن المغتابين إذا اغتابوا بالرواح الكريهة فيعصون الله به. That the intention to repel all bad smell, the intention to close the door towards backbiting over his bad smell, and in that people will be in the disobedience of Allah. That if you go with bad smell and someone smells you and then mentions it to someone else, then they are indulging in ghibah, they are indulging in backbiting, and that will then become disobedience to Allah, that will damage them. So you can make that intention that by putting on smell, I'm protecting, I'm closing the door for backbiting. Now the sixth intention is that أن يقصد بها معالجة دماغه, that he can intend to fortify his mind, his brain, his wit, his memory with the perfume. And through that it will make it easy for learning and practicing his deen. You know, the scholar say Imam Shafi'i, he quotes Imam Shafi'i here, who says that من طاب ريحه زاد عقله, that the one whose smell is pleasant, the one who has pleasant smell, then his intellect increases. Imam Shafi'i says that. Yes. So if exams coming up, then buy perfume. فهذا أمثاله من النيات لا يعجز الفقيه عن عنها إذا كانت تجارة الآخرة وطلب الخير غالبا على قلبه. And this is, he's saying that these and similar examples of intention will not fail people of understanding as long as there is a dominant yearning in their heart for trading for the akhirah. That's the thing, is that you have to have that dominant yearning in the heart, that look, I want to trade for akhirah, I want my akhirah to be well, then all these intentions will be fostered in the heart. وَإِذَا لَمْ يَغْلِبَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهِ إِلَّا نَعِيمَ الدُّنْيَا. But if there is a dominance of the pleasures of the world in the heart, then that person will not be affected. لَمْ تَحْضُرُوا هَذِهِ النِّيَّةِ These intentions will not be fostered in the heart. وَإِنْ ذُكِرَتْ لَهُ Even if they are mentioned to him, his heart will not be able to configure them, will not be able to accept them. They will not accept and configure them. It will not. فَلَا يَكُونُ مَعْهُ إِلَّا حَدِيثُ النَّفْسِ This will only be, you will hear it, you will internalize it to the degree of script. That this will be just scripts on the tongue. You know, like people say, I intend to be good. But that doesn't mean anything until you actually do something good. So, this will be scripts, he's saying. وَإِذَا ذُكِرَتْ لَهُ لَنْ يَنْبَعِثْ لَهُ قَلْبُهُ فَلَا يَكُونُ مِنْهُ إِلَّا حَدِيثُ النَّاسِ وَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ مِنَ النِّيَّةِ فِي شَيْءٍ And this is nothing to do with intention. وَالْمُبَاحَاتُ كَثِيرَةٌ And permissible deeds are countless. There are a lot. وَلَا يُمْكِنْ إِحْصَاءُ النِّيَّةِ فِيهَا And you cannot, we cannot count, or we cannot encompass all the various intentions that is necessary. ولكن he's saying فكس بها بهذا الواحد ما عداه so use this one the permissible actions are innumerable but one can extrapolate from this example to others and for this reason and you know early scholars says that I relish good intention in everything he says إني لا أستحب أن يكون لي في كل شيء نية that I relish good intention in everything I do even in my eating even in my drinking etc so this is for everything that is a reason for the preservation of the body, if a person says, you know, about faraghi, he's eating food, then I will use the strength that I get from this food to worship Allah. I will pray, I will eat. So you make that intention, it's allowed to food. It's a permissible deed to eat food, but you can make that intention. وَلِذَلِكَ يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يُحَسِّنْ نِيَتَهُ مَهْمَا ضَاعَ لَهُ مَالٌ And also, you may make your intention... You can make your intention good even in situations of disaster. If you lose something, you can say "Huwa fi sabilillah," that this is now in the path of Allah, that it's accepted. You know, my I remember once coming out of the mosque and I heard one of the mashayikh saying that you know he said, "Oh my, qubul ho gaya," that it's been accepted. I said, "What's happened?" He said, "Yeah, my shoes have been accepted. It's gone to you. It's good. Someone has taken my shoes. It's weird. Qubul ho gaya. Taken my shoes." But then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, he comes home and he asks his wife about the meat, you know, for distribution. And she says, "ما بقي إلا الذراع." That nothing has left is left. In بقي means to remain, right? So nothing remains except one shoulder. And Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم responded with, "بقي إلا الذراع." That the entire sheep remains except that shoulder. That shoulder that's in our house, that one's not remaining. In other words, all that has gone to charity has now been preserved for us in eternity for akhirah. That's all been preserved. Baqiya. But illa dira. This is the one. So that's the kind of intention we should have about our daily ongoing life. Things try to reflect on that. So يحسن وإذا بلغه اغتياب غيره And if someone says to you, you know, that oh, someone has been backbiting against you, فَلْيُطَيِّبْ قَلْبَهُ بِأَنْ يَسْتَحِيلَ And he should think kindly over it, because this person is doing zulm against themselves. Their words will make their good deeds come unto you. And this is what hisab is. This is what their good deeds will be carried unto you. فَسَتُنْقَلْ إِلَى دِيوَانِهِ حَسَنَاتِهِمْ وَلِيَنْوِي ذَلِكَ بِسُكُوتِهِ عَنِ الْجَوَابِ He doesn't go answering people. فَإِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيُحَاسَبْ That the servant on the day of judgment will be questioned. فَتُبْتِلُ عَامَالَهُ لِدُخُولِ الْآفَةِ فِيهَا حَتَّى يَسْتَوْجِبِ النَّارُ That a person may, his actions may collapse due to bad intentions you can have. وَلِذَٰلِكَ يَنْبَغِي أَنْ يُحَسِّنْ نِيَتَهُ مهما ضاع له المال, when, even if he loses wealth, and he should know, وليزيد ذلك بسكوته. If on the day of judgment you come with actions and good deeds like the mountains, but you have caused trouble to people, you have backbited against people, you have harmed people, you have hurt people, then all of those things will be put right on the day of judgment, and you can end up losing it all. It's a يَا الْأَعْمَالِ الَّذِينَ اِخْتَارُوا. He said that ثُمَّ يُنْشَرْ فَيَتَعَجَّبْ فَيَقُولْ يَا رَبِّ هَذِهِ الْأَعْمَالِ مَا عَلِمْتُهَا. That the person, مَا عَمِلْتُهَا قَطْ. That on the day of judgment, the person will see things in his book, in his book of deeds, and he will say, oh Allah, I didn't do these things. And then he'll be told, look, these are the good deeds of the people who backbited against you, and the people who oppressed you, and the people who wronged you. You've earned all their deeds, all their deeds. And if they don't have good deeds, then your bad deeds will be put onto them. وَفِي الْخَبَرَ إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيُوَافِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِحَسَنَاتِ أَمْثَالِ الْجِبَالِ. That a person will come on the day of judgment and he has good deeds like a mountain, like the tallest mountains. وَلَوْ حَصَى وَلَوْ خَلَصَتْ لَدَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. If it is with ikhlas, then he will enter into paradise. وَيَأْتِي وَقَدْ ظَلَمَ هَذَا. But he comes and he has oppressed people. He has wronged people. وَشَتَمَ هَذَا. And he has cursed this person. وَضَرَبَ هَذَا. And he has hit this person. فَيُقْتَصُ لِهَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ. Then it will be taken. The revenge will be taken through. He will have to pay for it. He'll have to pay for it with his hasanat, with his good deeds. وَلِهَذَا مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ حَتَّى لَا يَبْقَى لَهُ حَسَنَةٌ. Until there's no hasan, no good deed, فَتَقُولُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ قَدْ فَنِيَتْ حَسَنَاتُهُ وَبَقِيَ الطَّالِبُونَ. That all his good deeds are gone, and there are still people coming, asking, people who they're seeking penance, they're seeking justice. فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَلْقُوا عَلَيْهِ مِنْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ. Then Allah will say, throw unto him their bad deeds. ثُمَّ سُقُّوا لَهُ سُقًّا فِي النَّارِ. And then throw him into the fire. فَبِالْجُمْلَةِ. So he's saying in summary, that what this message is فَإِيَّاكَ ثُمَّ إِيَّاكَ. That be careful, be very careful, and تَسْتَحْقِرْ شَيْئًا مِنْ حَرَكَاتِكَ. That you will belittle anything of your actions. فَلَا تَحْتَرِزْ مِنْ غُرُورِهَا وَشُرُورِهَا فَلَا تَجِدْ لَهَا جَوَابًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. He said, don't fear looking into pride and its and the evil in your own actions. Be careful of what you do, so that you don't end up in a situation when you have no answer for it on the day of judgment. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ مُطَّلِعٌ عَلَيْكَ وَشَهِيدٌ. That Allah is looking over you and He's witnessing what you do. وَمَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. That there is a monitor, someone who is recording every word you say, do every action you do. وَقَالَ بَعْضُ السَّلَفِ كَتَبْتُ. And then he gives an example of a man, one of the early scholars, who said that I wrote a page, a book, and I wanted to put some dust on it. No, because when you put to increase the contrast, you put dust on it. And he said, my neighbor's house, next to my neighbor's house, in my house, I wanted to take some dust and I was reluctant because this is my neighbor's wall and the dust on the wall. And he says that I said, well, what is it? It's just dust in my heart. And then I heard someone says, فَهَتَفَ هَاتِفٌ سَيَعْلَمُ اللَّهُ سَيَعْلَمُ مَنِ اسْتَخَفَّ بِتُرَابٍ مَا يَلْقَى غَدًا مِنْ سُوءِ الْحِسَابِ. He said, the one who belittles with dust will find out on the day of judgment what is hisab, what is reckoning. With dust. وصلى رجل مع الثوري. And this is Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, رحمه الله. He said, فرآه مقلوب الثوب فتعرفه. That a man prayed with Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, and he saw that his coat, that his outer coat that he had worn, it was inside out. So he mentioned it to him, that, Sheikh, you have your coat inside out. So, ثم فثم قبضها. And then he فمد يده. So he took his, when the man said it to him, he grabbed it, and then to change it, and then halfway through he left it, and he continued. So فَسَأَلَهُ عَنْهَا, then later on he asked him, said, why? You were about to change it and you didn't. What happened? And he said, فَقَالْ إِنِّي لَبِسْتُهُ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى, that I wore, when I put that on with the intention to please Allah. وَلَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُسَوِّيَهُ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ, and I don't want to correct it for others, for someone else. I do not want to correct it to please someone else, that when I put my clothes on, I did this. Now that's the extent to which they would carry their intention. You know, he said, وَقَالَ عَلَى حَسَنٍ إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَتَعَلَّقْ بِالرَّجُلِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَيَقُولْ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكَ اللَّهِ, that he said that a person will grab someone on the Day of Judgment and say, oh, I have business with you, you know, in the name of Allah. And he would say, فَيَقُولُ وَاللَّهِ مَعْرِفَكَ, oh, I don't even know you. What is this? And he would say, فَيَقُولُ بَلَى, definitely, yes, of course. أَنْتَ أَخَذْتَ تَبِنَةً مِّنْ حَائِتِي, that you took a brick of my wall. You took a brick out of my wall. وَأَخَذْتَ, and another one says, وَأَخَذْتَ خَيْتًا مِّنْ ثَوْبِي, and you took a thread from my clothes. So, فَهَذَا وَأَمْثَالُهُ مِنَ الْأَخْبَارِ قَطَعَ قُلُوبَ الْخَائِفِينَ, that this and others, examples of this sort, has shredded the hearts of the fearful, the people who really have the fear. فَإِنْ كُنْتَ مِنْ أُولِي الْعَزْمِ وَإِنْ كُنْتَ مِنْ أُولِي الْحَزْمِ وَالنُّهَى وَلَمْ تَكُنْ مِنَ الْمُخْتَرِّينَ فَانْظُرْ لِنَفْسِكَ الْآنَ, that if you are people of determination and intelligence and not from among the deluded and the deceived, then look at yourself now. Take account now of yourself before account is taken of you. That this is the time. فَإِنْ عَلِمْتَ أَنَّهُ لَا بَاعِثَ إِلَّا الدِّينَ, that if you are about to do something, then you think, فَانْظُرْ لِنَفْسِكَ الْحِسَابَ عَلَى نَفْسِكَ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُدَقِّقَ عَلَيْكَ, be careful about reckoning before it is taken over you. And فَإِذَا عَلِمْتَ أَنَّهُ لَا بَاعِثَ إِلَّا الدِّينَ فَامْضِي بِعَزْمِكَ, that if you are about to do something and you realize and you analyze it and it turns out that there is deen, it's the reason that's pushing you to do it is deen, then do it. But also فَأَمْسِكَ, but if it's not for the pleasure of Allah, it's not for a deen, there is nothing connected to this, if the intention is to show, then فَأَمْسِكْ, then control, then restrain yourself. ثُمَّ رَاقِبْ أَيْضًا, and then also be careful, monitor your heart in these decisions. رَاقِبْ أَيْضًا قَلْبَكَ فِي إِمْسَاكِكَ وَإِمْتِنَاعِكَ, even in the restraint, look at your heart. فَإِنَّ تَرْكَ الْفِعْلِ فِعْلٌ, that the restraining from action is action. So be careful. فَلَا بُدَّ مِن نِيَّةٍ صَحِيحَ, so you shouldn't have the correct intention. فَلَا يَنْبَغِي أَن يَكُونَ لِدَاعِي هَوًا خَفِيَّ لَا يُطَّلَعَ عَلَيْهِ, that this, it should not be from something that aggrandizes the nafs and belittles people. فَلَا يَغُرَّنَّ ظَوَاهِرَ الْأُمُورِ ومشهورات الخيرات, and so do not be deceived by the apparent matters and the famous things, the fame of good things, things the famous and the superficial. Look at the mysteries. He said, "وافتن للأغوار والأسرار." Look at the mysteries and the secrets in the heart, and تخرج من حيز أهل الإغترار. And then you will escape from the sphere of those who are deceived, of the ones who are deceived. فالبصير ينظر إلى البواطن. So the one who has insight, the one who has perspicacity, the one who has that view of checking, then he looks with the nur, or with the intent, with the light of Allah. He looks beyond the surface. He looks, so he does the ila bawatin binuri Allah. Fa in da'afahu an al-amal nuksun fi fardin aw tark ad-da'wati ila ta'amin nuksun fi fadlin wala hukma lil fada'il ma'a al-fara'id hasibu anfusakum qabla an tuhasabu. Take yourself to task before you are taken to task. And that's the message that Umar radiallahu anhu said to everyone, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. Take yourself to task before you are taken to task. Now there are two points that brings comfort to the heart after learning about hisab in permissible deeds, learning about reckoning. The first one is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy in regard to good deeds, and this is something that I think is appropriate to remember at this point, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes records the good deeds, records the bad deeds, but the good deeds are multiplied. They're multiplied. وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرَ أَمْثَالِهَا. That who comes with a good deed, then Allah will multiply it tenfold. وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ فَلَا يُجْزَى إِلَّا مِثْلَهَا. The one who brings a bad deed, then that bad deed will only be reckoned as one. So this is the first source of comfort that we should have in our heart, and not to lose hope, not to become despondent in the mercy of Allah, because that is the biggest tragedy. That yes, when we read about all these things about, you know, intention and good hope and the need for ikhlas, then sometimes it can become overwhelming and we might feel that, look, this is too much. But no, Allah's mercy is over everything. He said, غَلَبَتْ رَحْمَتِي غَضَبِي. That my mercy has overpowered my anger. وَسِعَتْ رَحْمَتِي كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. My mercy has covered everything. And this is one of the expressions of Allah's mercy, is that He multiplies the good deeds and He keeps the bad deeds as one. And the second source of comfort is that Allah's mercy is such that with true repentance and sincere repentance, Allah does not only forgive, but He turns your bad deeds into good deeds. This is how great Allah's mercy is. That He will convert, convert your bad deeds into good deeds. And this is said, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. That those who tab, they are repentful, they repent to Allah. وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. And they do good deeds. They do good deeds. فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ. That this is in Surah Furqan. That he will replace, he will change their bad deeds into good deeds. حسنات وكان الله غفور الرحيم. So the first one is Surah Al-An'am, verse 160, where he says, من جاء بالحسنة فله عشر أمثالها. So this is a verse to reflect on. If you feel that this is too, that these discussions are overwhelming and they're too hard and they're too difficult, then know that Allah is merciful. Do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Verse 160 in Surah Al-An'am, and the second verse, verse 70 in Surah Al-Furqan, that إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. That Allah will turn their bad deeds into good deeds. So much so that the person, you know, will come on the Day of Judgment and you say, يَا رَبْ إِنَّ لِي سَيِّئَاتٍ وَلَا أَرَاهَا هُنَا. Allah will forgive them, talk to him about it. And he said, I know I've committed sin, some sins, and I don't see them here. And Allah said, yes, because I've changed them into good deeds for you. I forgive them. So Allah is merciful, and Allah, if we keep our hearts and hope in Allah's mercy, and try to change, sincerely try to change our hearts and change our deeds, our actions, and our intentions, and Allah will help us to improve, inshallah. So may Allah grant us the tawfiq and grant us the will, the opportunity to repent with sincerity for our past actions and to turn a new page and to remain steadfast. Let us pray. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم أنت ربنا لا إله إلا أنت خلقتنا ونحن عبادك ونحن على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعنا. نعوذ بك من شر ما صنعنا ونبوء لك بذنوبنا فاغفر لنا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا ربي يا كريم يا ربي يا كريم. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا ما أحييتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا يا ربي يا كريم. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. آمين آمين يا رب العالمين. صلى الله تعالى على خير. جزاكم الله خير شيخ
for today's lesson. Alhamdulillah, very very beneficial. I think a lot of the time we categorize worship as, you know, just halal reading Quran, but thinking about, like Sheikh said, was mentioning about the permissible actions and how we can, if we have the right intentions, that can become rewardable for us as well, inshallah. So it's something that we can implement all the time, inshallah. So jazakumullah khair, Sheikh, once again, may Allah accept it from you and from us all. Inshallah, we'll continue next week at the same time, inshallah.
Allah.